This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Fire up in here, it's burning hot. We on fire. Should we take it off if it gets too hot? Up in this spot, we on fire. Turn the roof on. Let the roof on fire.
Welcome to the maiden voyage of Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. It's me. Hope you guys are doing well on this glorious Monday morning. I want to tell you quickly about this podcast. This is the first episode I am recording out in Los Angeles. And, you know, the idea for this podcast hatched back in February at the Super Bowl. iHeart told me, hey, we've got an idea for an authentic, fearless daily sports podcast, and we want you to be the guy. I'm all in. I'm all excited. And then COVID hits. All sports are canceled. And here we are 5 months later. Sports are finally back. And could we have picked a better weekend for the debut? I mean, how good of a sports weekend do we just have, right? A 23-year-old wins the PGA Championship, a thrilling Sunday. He shoots a 64. There was half a dozen guys in contention. Pour some out for Dustin Johnson. You know, he went into Sunday leading it and kind of blew it. There was hockey this weekend. There was soccer. Messi had an amazing goal. I posted it on my Instagram stories. I know you saw it because you guys obviously follow me. There was incredible NBA. The Lakers lost. The Bucks lost. And the Clippers choked on Sunday night. We will get to NBA shortly. We'll do some NBA gambling later in the show. But I think we got to start with the biggest story in sports, and that's college football. And it's not good news. It's actually very bad. I'm very upset, but it looks like we are headed toward a fall without college football on Saturdays. Right now, I want to pipe in the Notre Dame fight song, right? I know you guys know it. You watched college football in the late 80s, early 90s like I did, and Notre Dame was on TV all the time, so you just knew the Notre Dame fight song. And obviously now Wisconsin's jump around is immensely popular. You just feel that energy on Saturdays, and it's all gone. It's not going to happen. Apparently, according to various insiders, the Big Ten is going to decide first. That will be either Monday or Tuesday. And we're expecting the Pac-12 to make a decision shortly thereafter. SEC obviously is going to hold out as long as possible. But my first thought is, who do we blame for this? How did this happen? Why did we get here? And I think back to March when coronavirus hit. Start spreading in America, and there was like a one-hour time span where Tom Hanks announced he had COVID, his wife announced she had it, and then Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz had it, and Donovan Mitchell. It was like a boom, 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 the domino effect. Next thing you know, NBA season canceled. Within like 24 hours, March Madness was toast, and everybody blamed Rudy Gobert. You know, he had done that idiotic thing where he rubbed the microphones a couple days earlier to kind of make fun of coronavirus, making a mockery of it. And he got crushed on social media. Rudy Gobert literally talked about going into hiding after announcing he had coronavirus. And I mean, he was the blame guy. It was his fault. That's what we do, right? We blame people. It's your fault. It's his fault. But in college football, there's really nobody to blame because there's no leadership. Now, iHeart told me I'm allowed to say bad words, swear words, curse words, whatever you guys want to call them. And I am allowed to, and I just wanted to unleash a torrent of F-bombs about the college football situation because I'm ticked. I love college football. I mean, this was shaping up to be an incredible season. Trevor Lawrence back for his, what everybody thinks is going to be his final year. Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback. I mean, you remember their college football playoff game? One of the great college football games in the last decade. Like I love college football. I'm like the Fox Sports gambling guy. I've been doing picks for college football digitally for like the last 2 years. A couple years ago, I was good. Last year, not so much. But we're not going to have it. It's looking, I would say, like 95% unlikely we're going to have college football on Saturdays. And the big problem is leadership. And I think back to real leaders emerging in times of crisis. Now, obviously, this example is sports, not a global pandemic. But think back to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 23. Joe Cool, Joe Montana, and the 49ers are playing the Bengals. The Bengals somehow have the lead with 4 minutes left. They're up by a field goal. And Montana and the 49ers get the ball deep in their own end, right? And Joe Montana, I'll never forget this story. He steps into the huddle. This is the second Notre Dame reference 5 minutes into the podcast. I apologize to all the anti-Notre Dame fans. So Joe Montana steps into the huddle of the 49ers. He looks at the faces of his teammates, and some guys are nervous, right? It's the Super Bowl. 100 million people watching the Super Bowl. Joe Montana's in the huddle, down three, needs to go like 90 yards. And he opens with, wow, look, there's John Candy in the stands. Can you believe that? And, you know, the millennials listening have no idea who John Candy is. He was in Spaceballs. He was phenomenal in Uncle Buck, which is a great movie. And John Candy was sitting in the stands, visible at the Super Bowl, and his teammates look over. They're like, what the heck? And everybody starts laughing, right? You know, popular comedian and actor. And Joe Montana's talking about that with 4 minutes left to go in the Super Bowl, and you need to win the game. So what does Joe Cool do? Montana goes down the field, game-winning TD pass to John Taylor, 49ers win. That's leadership. That's what you need in sports, and there's nobody like that in college football. So you guys know I'm friendly with Colin Cowherd. He helped get me to FS1. He lives out here near me in Los Angeles. And we're talking Sunday, and we start talking about Mark Emmert. And afterward, I decide, let me go look up Mark Emmert. And you know his compensation in 2017 was $3.9 million? And he's not even in charge of college football. He runs all of college athletics. So if there's a big national controversy with the Boston College field hockey team, hey, we got to get Mark Emmert on the horn. He's going to figure this out for us. Mark Emmert's not even football focused. There is no leader. I want to put this in perspective for you, okay? I consider the quarantine, shutdown, whatever you want to call it, March 13th. That's my start date, okay? Because that was the day I was supposed to host Cowherd Show The Herd on FS1 solo for the first time. I was all fired up. I had some great topics. And COVID hits. So the Thursday, they say, hey, Jay, sorry, man, studio's shut down. It ended up staying shut down for like 2 months. I hosted the show radio only, but I'm not going to forget March 13th, okay? And from mid-March to right about now, almost 5 months. And college football had that long to come up with a plan. And guess what they came up with? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's unbelievable. Is ignorance the right word? Did they think that this was just going to figure itself out or go away? I mean, the Power Five conferences, okay? They basically run the college football show. They never got on the same page. There's no unifying force putting them together. And that's why they're the ones to blame, if anybody. You know, the SEC, all they do is brag about football. That's all they do. That's fine. They have great football. They dominate. The Big Ten loves to brag about academics. Okay, the ACC is kind of the whatever conference. You know, Clemson dominates them to the point of whatever. The Pac-12 is kind of the sleeping giant that has never been woken up. It's been asleep way too long. And the Big 12, I like to call them the all-gas, no-breaks conference because they play Arena League football. But all those five are kind of separate. It's like they're in their camps holding firm in their position of, hey, we're not going to really do anything. And I mean, they came up with nothing. Think about this. The NBA put together a bubble in 2 months. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're yelling into the podcast, Jason, you can't do a bubble for college football. You just can't. Well, why do you think that is, guys? Any ideas why you can't do a bubble? Oh, because the college athletics model is broken. It's a billion-dollar business. You can continue to call it amateurism all you want, and that's fine. Mark Emmert clings to amateurism like grim death. Okay, that's what he does. It's a billion-dollar business, and they want to call it amateurism. It's laughable. I mean, shamateurism is a much better term for what college athletics is. I mean, I had to look this up, okay? The players, we know they get a full scholarship, right? That's great. That's outstanding. They get a free education. That's well-deserved. That's like the minimum they should get. Coaches get like what NFL coaches get. There are 25 coaches in college football that make over $4 million a year. The players get a scholarship and that's it. The college athletics model is broken, guys. I'm sorry. But you can't, in a pandemic, globally, over 150,000 people dead in America in 2020. You can't say, hey, Nick Saban, here's your $7.5 million or, you know, whatever he makes. It's in that ballpark. Maybe more. And then you can't look 18 to 22-year-old kids in the eye and say, hey, guys, go play football. You're probably not going to die. You know, you might get sick, but you're probably not going to die. We don't know the long-term ramifications of COVID, But hopefully it's not going to be that bad. But go out and play the football because, you know, the university really needs it. Oh, they really need it because college football props up the entire athletic department? Oh, I get it now. Okay, that makes sense. So these 18 to 22-year-old kids go out and, I mean, risk their life is a little bit strong, but I'm going to give you two stories in a sec. Maybe you'll disagree. 18 to 22-year-old kids, go play. Hopefully you don't get sick. And, you know, Mark Emmert's going to make his nearly $4 million. 25 coaches are going to collect their big paydays. The commissioners of these conferences get paid. You got strength coaches around the country making $750,000 or more. But yeah, you guys go play. Do you know how stupid that sounds? I could not do that. I could not look a college kid in the eye and say, you know, go play. You're probably not going to get sick. I just couldn't do it. Maybe there's something wrong with me that I couldn't do that. Or maybe I'm right. Because have you guys heard of a kid named Xavier Thomas? I know college football fans listening have. Okay? 6'2", 265, rocked up. I mean, this kid's jacked. He was a top five recruit coming out of high school. Top five. Beast on the Clemson defensive line. Preseason All-American this year. Was going to go to the NFL next year. He got COVID in the spring. Then he got strep throat. And now Xavier Thomas lost so much weight, he could not work out. Dabo Sweeney, his coach, came out and said, we're going to have him redshirt or just sit out the whole year. Sit out most of the year, probably redshirt the year. He got coronavirus 3 or 4 months ago, and now he can't play college football this fall. How terrifying is that? Now, I know Trevor Lawrence is out there saying, we want to play, we want to play. I get that. That's fine. I'm with you, Trevor. I want you guys to play. I want it to be safe. You don't know what you don't know. Think about this. When you were, I don't know, 20, 21, you were fearless. You had no fear whatsoever. Come on. How many dumb, idiotic things did you do when you were 21? I would tell a story about spring break, but if my wife listens, I'll get in trouble. I did a lot of really dumb things as a college kid. A lot. I'm sure you did too, because you didn't know. You were fearless. So yeah, obviously Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and all these guys want to go play. Well, do you guys know the name Eduardo Rodriguez? Red Sox pitcher? He's E-Rod. I did not know he was E-Rod, but that's how he goes. He's one of the best pitchers on the Red Sox this year. 27 years old. And he got COVID. And he's all ready to go back. And then the doctors check it out. And they're like, whoa, you got some heart issues. Yeah, we're seeing that from COVID patients. What? So now Eduardo Rodriguez, 27-year-old Red Sox pitcher, has to be shut down for the year because doctors say there's some heart issue. They don't know exactly what it is. And hey, it's a little risky to pitch. So do you see where the university presidents are coming from? Where they're like, whoa, we got to chill with this. Okay, I've seen the data that says it's very unlikely that if you're under 25, you're going to die from coronavirus. I've seen that. It's more than just that. It's not just the deaths. It's obviously more than that. Like, these small college towns, do you really think they're equipped to handle an outbreak on a campus? Because, oh, I don't know, there's 20,000 kids going to Clemson in a couple weeks. And I get it. The 80 to 100 kids on the football team are going to do their best to not party. Although, try to tell rock stars to not party. Let me know how that goes. Okay? Because I remember when I was a college kid, I was partying every weekend. I'll never forget. My parents dropped me off at school, Virginia Tech. And within like 2 hours, I had a beer in my hand. And that night, you know, you're out with a bunch of people you just met, living it up. Because that's what you do at college. You kind of find yourself. You can't expect the other 19,900 people on college campuses around the country to not party and not behave. And behave, I mean. So did you see at Cincinnati, they're just letting the athletes back. Three soccer players were dumb enough to host a COVID party last week. The virus spread. They had to shut down athletics. And now these idiots lost their scholarships. Like, again, I'm not totally blaming the athletes. Because guess what? It's tough to tell someone who's young, don't party. So I don't know, man. I'm really upset and disappointed about college football. It seems like we're going to have a decision this week, and the college model is broken. I mean, I do believe that there is some fear among the presidents that the players are going to use COVID as an opportunity to unionize, if you will, and get paid. And I'm all for that. We know the Pac-12's trying that. I don't know where this goes. Like, I don't think spring football is an option. Now, I'm sure there are people out there, and I'll wrap up the college football part on this. I'm sure there are people out there who are saying, well, wait a sec, Jason, you've bashed them endlessly for 10, 15 minutes. Where's your solution? Well, my solution would have been some sort of bubble around the college football team. But then it comes back to you can't put people in a bubble unless you pay them. And the university presidents, they don't want to pay them. So what are the options other than a bubble? That's where it gets bleak. You got to bring in the doctors and the scientists, the experts. You got to trust them. And ultimately, I don't think spring college football could happen, because if you're Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence and the draft is coming up, do you want to be playing football and risking injury right before the draft and potentially jeopardizing your first year in the pros? I don't think that's a plausible option for a lot of players. Now, the SEC would hate spring football because obviously many of the best athletes and the best future NFL players are in the SEC. Big Ten would probably like it a lot. Pac-12 would love it. They don't have as many. Obviously, we know Michigan and Ohio State churn out tons of pros. But by and large, you know, Minnesota's got a handful of guys. Personally, if you're asking me for advice, I would say to anybody who's got like a first or second round grade, sit out. It ain't worth it. Stay in your own little bubble. Work out, you know, talk to an agent, probably sign with an agent, work out, and get ready for the NFL, because that's where your future is. But college football on the whole, I'm extremely disappointed. And hopefully they can figure things out and get the players paid and then get the season started on time next year. All right, college football got me all worked up and upset, but I want to pivot to the NBA where I can finally get excited, because a lot of great stuff happened in the bubble in Orlando over the weekend. So I just want to be clear about this. The media loves to go after LeBron James. We know that, okay? I don't know if it dates back to I'm taking my talents to South Beach or losing in the finals a bunch or people comparing him to Jordan, but they love to go after LeBron. The Lakers lost to the Pacers in the TJ Warren show Saturday night. A crazy game, okay? TJ Warren's unconscious right now. And people go after the Lakers. Oh, they're, geez, Lakers, oh, nobody's good. Quinn Cook is scoring. They're playing the kid Horton Tucker. The Lakers just aren't that good. They're not going to win anything. It was like total panic that the Lakers lost again. Oh, yeah, also the Bucks lost Saturday night. But nobody would know it because nobody talked about it. All the talk was Luka, Luka, Luka. And Luka Doncic was unbelievable. I'll talk about him in a minute. He gets his own little moment. But nobody mentioned that the Bucks lost. Bucks haven't looked good in the bubble, but nobody's talking about them. This was a team that was on a historic pace during the regular season. I'm not kidding. Look at some of their analytics. They were in line with what the Warriors did with Kevin Durant. No lie. That's how stacked this Bucks team is. And then they kind of limp into the bubble. Remember, they struggled there at the end, right before the quarantine, that bad loss to the Lakers in LA. Then Giannis was dinged up. And then they go to the bubble, and they haven't looked particularly sharp. Obviously, that Nets loss was bad, but Giannis didn't play in the second half, and Bledsoe's coming back. But anytime people start to talk about the Bucks, you hear the excuses. I don't hear those for the Lakers. And then the Clippers Sunday night, the three best teams with the best odds to win the title. Lakers, Bucks, Clippers. Clippers gag one away to the Nets. Nets have now taken down the Bucks and the Clippers. Well, Jason, Paul George didn't play. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Kawhi Leonard did play. They sat Kawhi on Saturday against Portland so they could play him Sunday against Brooklyn. He doesn't do back-to-backs. You know, I call him on my Saturday radio show load management fraud Kawhi Leonard, because he's been load managing since friggin' October, which is a joke. But I just don't understand how when the Bucks can lose and the Clippers can lose, it's, well, you know, yada, 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 let's make an excuse. But the Lakers lose and it's, whoa, LeBron's not getting the title. And you got everybody going after him. I think it's unfair and kind of dumb. And it's just not really productive. My thoughts on the Lakers, listen, they really miss Avery Bradley, their best on-ball defender. And I looked at this in depth a little bit. If you go to this website, 82games.com, you can see what units play together the most and the best and the most effective for the Lakers. Well, would you believe it? their number one five-man unit, their best one, Avery Bradley was in it. Their number three most effective five-man unit, Rajon Rondo was in it. And people want to dismiss Rondo. Oh, he was good 10 years ago, Jason. Stop it. Okay. Well, you know, how many big-time games has Alex Caruso played in? And I like Caruso. How many playoff wins does KCP have? How many playoff baskets does Kyle Kuzma have? You know the answer. He's never been to the playoffs. Kyle Kuzma hasn't won a meaningful NCAA tournament game. Neither has Caruso. KCP didn't do squat. He's never done anything in a big game. And nobody wants to worry that we're missing Rondo? Like, that's not a big deal? Rondo's, I don't know, been to the finals? Been an instrumental factor in NBA finals games? Avery Bradley? Avery Bradley, with the Celtics, has been in some high-level playoff series against LeBron's Cavs. Avery Bradley's a really good player with a lot of experience. Dating back to college, he was a big-time player. Played in some big games. Like, that stuff matters. Eric Bledsoe was missing for the Bucks. I mean, what was Eric Bledsoe last year in the playoffs? I mean, nothing special. I like Pat Connaughton. He's like their ninth guy. Now, the Clippers, I'll give you a little wiggle room. But I kind of want to focus on the Clippers for a sec, and especially Kawhi Leonard. Because I have this theory that I was bouncing off the producer of this podcast. His name's Rob. We call him Rob G. He used to be my weekend producer. And then he moved on up to the big leagues. He now produces The Odd Couple. He's a Laker fan. He's pretty funny on social media. And I bounced this theory off him and let this marinate while I put it out there. If Kawhi Leonard is so good and you guys want to put him in the same breath as LeBron and consider him for top 10, top 15, top 25, why are the Raptors the second best team in the East and legit threats to get to the finals? Plus 500, second best odds in the East. How is that? How does that work? Because all I know is when LeBron left the Cavs the first time, they went in the tank. They became a 20-win team. A dumpster fire. That's how they got Kyrie Irving. Then LeBron left the Heat, and he won two titles in 4 years. And, what happened? They missed the playoffs. That's right. They have won one playoff series in the last 5 years since LeBron left. And then LeBron left the Cavs for the second time. And how are things working out? Train wreck. An abomination. So LeBron leaves franchises and they become complete and utter garbage. And Kawhi Leonard, the finals MVP, leaves the Raptors. And they win over 50 games. And they're the number two seed in the East. And this is a pretty darn good team. I mean, I'm not going after Kawhi Leonard. I'm not taking shots. I'm just asking you, how can you put him in the same discussion as LeBron James all time? You can't. The answer is you cannot. He's not ready for that. He might win the title this year. Although, you know, he's got Paul George, who hasn't been out of the first round in 6 years. Just quick reminder, yeah. I'm a big Paul George fan. I was a little scorned when he didn't go to the Lakers. They could sure as hell use him right now. Paul George is a great player. But I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Kawhi leaves the Raptors, and they win over 50 games. You know, there was a guy by the name of Jordan. Awesome player, obviously. All-time great. Best player in NBA history. 6 titles. Remember when he quit the Bulls to go play baseball? And Scottie Pippen led them to like 57 wins? I mean, LeBron is just different, guys. If you don't understand that at this point, his 17th season in the league, I can't help you. You can dislike him. That's fine. And I said at the outset of this podcast, I'm going to be as authentic as possible. LeBron is a bad game. I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it like I see it. You guys know, if you follow me on Instagram and social media, you know I'm a curry guy. Okay? And I'm not talking about just chicken curry, which I do love, but Steph Curry as well. I had a podcast way, way back. My first foray into podcasts in like 2010 or whatever. And Steph Curry was my first guest. And I was able to get him because he hadn't become a superstar yet. And I was just a fan of his since Davidson. He came on, and recently he was working out of my gym rehabbing, obviously pre-COVID. And I went up, I was like, hey, you remember that podcast we did? No, I didn't say that. I didn't lead with that, at least. But he was very down-to-earth guy, super nice. He follows me now on Twitter, which is whatever, irrelevant. I'm just tossing that out there. At any rate, if Curry has a bad game, I'm going to say it. That's how I am. I'm a huge Jets fan. When they're trash, they're trash. I'm going to call it like I see it. So I'm sorry. I can't put Kawhi in the class of LeBron James. I just can't. He hasn't done it enough. He's load managing in October, which is really, really bad. No player in NBA history has done that who hasn't been coming off like a massive surgery. And Kawhi wasn't. He wasn't coming off surgery. He started load managing. All right, I got to find my final NBA topic. Actually, it was prompted by the producer, Rob G. We know each other pretty well. We were texting about Luka, and that Luka pass Saturday night between the legs for the dunk in overtime. Bucks win. Oh, I'm sorry, Bucks lose. Bucks lose to the Mavericks. And Luka Doncic was phenomenal. 19 assists, triple-double. Just an amazing player. He's 21 years old. And then some, you know, I'm hyping him up on social media. I'm so proud of Luka. He's an awesome player to watch. And somebody sends me a tweet that says, hey, Jason, James Harden makes that pass all the time, and I don't see you freaking out. And I was like, okay. So I look at the clip, and James Harden has indeed done the between-the-legs pass plenty. And then I sent it to Rob G, and I was like, what do we have here? And, you know, Rob had an interesting take. Rob, you want to... You know, first, pledge your allegiance to the Lakers just so everybody knows you're in the tank for LeBron and the Lakers.
Well, first off, thank you for introducing me, Jason. I appreciate that. First off, I'm glad you understand the Lakers are going to win the championship. Them starting slow in the bubble has nothing to do with anything. Wait for playoff LeBron to turn it on. It's going to be fine. Lakers in six, hashtag. You know, I put that on Twitter on almost every one of my tweets. But yeah, we were texting about Luka and James Harden, that comparison with those videos. And I told you, the problem with James Harden now is that we've become immune to his greatness. We've kind of taken it for granted. He's done this so much in the regular season. He puts up these 50-point triple-doubles. I think he has the most in history. He's just, you know, setting the record books on fire. And then he gets to the playoffs and nothing. He's always coming up a little bit short. So eventually the narrative around him became, hey, he's great in the regular season. Hey, he's putting up these great numbers in that D'Antoni system. But he's always coming up small in the playoffs. So you're not as impressed anymore because, you know, all of those, you know, between the leg bounce passes and the 50-point triple doubles and the step back, you know, with three steps and then a three, you know, because it's kind of a travel. We don't talk about that too much, though. All of that happens and nobody cares anymore because, you know, once he gets to the playoffs, he's going to flame out.
Yeah, it's almost like he's to the point where, hey, man, I've seen this movie before. This is one of those rom-coms. I know what's going to happen in the end. They're going to get together, blah, blah. And you bail on the movie early. But you're right. I mean, Harden has been, you know, people compared him scoring-wise to Jordan. And I think he led the NBA in 30, 40, and 50-point games this season. Like, he's a pretty incredible guy. And I'll never forget, I was a little down on Harden, Rob, coming out of Arizona State. And I'll never forget it. I saw him against Syracuse in the NCAA tournament. And, of course, Syracuse threw the 2-3 zone at him. And Harden couldn't really do anything. This was pre-beard, of course. And, you know, he's a little doughy. And I didn't see him as this utterly dominant force. And even in his early OKC days, I didn't see him, like, leading the league in scoring. Did you?
No, not at all. But you know who else is doughy? Is my man Luka Doncic. And that ain't going to stop him from putting up these 34, 19, and 14 games every other night. That guy's incredible.
The other thing I had on Luka Doncic was, like, obviously because he's white, you know, the comparisons to Larry Bird are going to happen. That's just natural, folks. I know you're not going to like it. I don't love that, but that's just how it's going to be. People are going to compare him. And I just remember Bird winning three straight MVP awards. Think about that. Three in a row. Curry won two, and it was like, whoa, unbelievable. LeBron won, I think, 4 in 5 years. He won two, then Derrick Rose won one, and then LeBron won two. But, Rob, do you really think Luka could win three straight MVP awards?
Oh, absolutely. In NBA history, there's only two guys who have ever averaged 29, 9, and 9. Russell Westbrook the big O, Oscar Robertson, all the triple-double. So that's obvious. They got 29.99. Luka Doncic, last I checked, is like 0.2 assists per game away from 29.99. And this is his second season. What is he going to be putting up in year four, in year five? And he's putting up these video game numbers. I'm sure the Mavs are going to be winning at a pretty high clip by that point. How would you not give him an MVP at that point?
I mean, it's really how they build around him. But so far, Mark Cuban's done a pretty dang good job getting Porzingis as a steal. Listen, folks, I do want to just tease this. The lineup today for NBA games is absurd. Dallas, Luka Doncic against Utah. The lines are kind of spotty right now. Dallas is favored. I mean, I don't know how you don't love Dallas in that, although, you know, a lot of people will say, hey, they're going to not perform as well given the win over the Bucks. Toronto versus Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee's a 5.5-point favorite. These are the two best teams in the East. Unfortunately for Toronto, you know, they had that bad loss to Boston, so I think people are a little off on them. I actually think that's my favorite bet. Raptors getting 5.5 against Milwaukee. I'm not buying the Bucks right now. They can't stop anybody defensively. And Toronto's not great defensively. Offensively. Their offense is not great. Van Vliet's a problem, but he's struggled the last couple games. I just think Toronto, big, huge spot. Now, it is, not the greatest spot given the back-to-back, but they know how much gap there is between Milwaukee and the rest of the East. And I think Toronto shows up. I like them plus 5.5. The other two games, Lakers-Denver's huge. Rob, this is a big game. Denver has a chance now at the number two seed, given that Clippers lost on Sunday. I don't know if Jamal Murray's going to play, but eventually they're going to need him. Michael Porter can't keep carrying this team. And the other game is the big one, Indiana-Miami. And I know you're like, Jason, come on, it's a bubble game. The last time they played, T.J. Warren and Jimmy Butler got into a fight. Jimmy Butler was blowing kisses to him as he got ejected. And like basically was saying, talking down T.J. Warren. Jimmy Butler's a lockdown defender. He's that dude you want in the foxhole. I mean, he's came up from nothing. Jimmy Butler is a great success story. I can't wait for this game. Indiana, Miami in the bubble. Just a great Monday of NBA. And the playoffs, I think, start next week. So very fired up about that. So I'm going to hit you with gambling picks all the time. You guys know I love gambling. Obviously, NFL will be massive. There will be an NFL season. Don't worry about that. That's happening, unlike college football. Oof. So my pick of the night, Toronto Raptors getting 5.5 against Milwaukee. Listen, when you hear this, maybe the line has moved. You never know what's going on in the desert, but I definitely like the Raptors in that spot against the Bucks. Remember, subscribe and leave me a nice comment, and also 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Catch me tomorrow, 5 a.m., Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.